Welcome you all. If you're new here, we just make yourself at home. And let's all stand and sing the Lord number 337, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
But I know who I am. church. I'd like to
welcome
everyone here today. If you're a visitor, we'd like for you to fill out the tire out in the bulletin and place it in the offering plate. Remember to look at inside the bulletin and the back for announcements and other announcements. There's been a meal train set up for Mr. and Mrs. Keck to run through May 1st, and an email has been sent to everyone on the church list. If you would be willing to prepare a meal for the Kecks, please see Tammy Bledsoe or send her an email. Sherry Roten would like to thank the church for all your prayers during the sickness of her dad and Clifford Knight. We need to be in prayer for the family. And February 23rd is High Attendance Sunday. Class with the highest percent here wins, whether it's worm or adult or anyone in between. Remember, win 1B1, set goals to help motivate Thomas Village in the service. And we want to get 75 out for Sunday night and 50 for Wednesday night. We need to also be in prayer for Tuesday morning prayer meeting at 10 a.m. And let's remember those on our prayer list. Remember the sick and those that lost loved ones. And let's pray for each other. This time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be here. Father, we thank you for your love and grace and mercy, and most of all, your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that your blessings will be with each one here and their family. Pray that your blessings be with Pastor Brian as he brings your message. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this place. And Father, we pray for those on the prayer list, the sick, the ones that lost loved ones, that you would give them the healing and the peace and grace and joy that only you can give. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know your Son, Jesus, that today would be the night, day. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We take it for granted sometimes, just the opportunity to even be here. And it's a privilege and honor just to be in a facility that where a group of people can come together and worship the Lord. And with that, let's just stand and sing for our offertory hymn number 151, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home."
Needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never sign up the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. Sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of one where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. When I bid farewell to the way of the world,
Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for being able to be back in your house today, Lord. Just be the ones that's still sick, Lord, that can't be here, Lord. Just lift them up and give them all the praise that they need, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for this offering, Lord, that we're about to receive, Lord. Just use it to your glory, Lord. And we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Josh, can you hear me? All right, good deal. Good to see you. How's your family? They well? I tell you what, there's a lot of sickness going around. Who was that hacking? We're going to put a bubble around them. We'll put a bubble around them. Don't let them out. As long as it ain't the corona. Well, how in the world they name it after a Hispanic beer? I don't know. It's good to see all of you this morning. So glad you made the effort out to come out today. This morning we're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 11. Psalms, chapter 11. And it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Beautiful day. I tell you, I want to tell all of you thank you. Thomas Village Baptist Church, Daddy had his heart procedure. Everything came back. That function and flow is good. No blockages, that it's electrical. So they're going to rewire him next week and then see what happens. But he texted me this morning, and most of y'all know my father, and he just wanted to say thank you, and Mama wanted to say thank you for allowing me to come down as well to be with them and give God the praise for that. So as you're turning to Psalms chapter 11, do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning?
I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be here.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Also, just to kind of talk about the 23rd of this month, it's going to be our high attendance Sunday. Now, specifically, that's going to be high attendance for the Sunday school class. We're going to have an award for our worm program and then for the rest of us. And it's not going to be based on numbers, but percentages. We know that some only have 5 where others have 14. So just get as many as you can, and you just might win, all right? And but then, Lord willing, in the next month to two, we're going to have a pack of pew Sunday and try to see if we can't hit our 200 mark, all right, on Sunday morning. Do we have any more words of praise or testimony? Yes, sister, it's good to see you. When did y'all get back?
Yesterday.
Me too. Anyone else as you turn to Psalms 11? Yes, Sister Pam.
I just want to say that I'm grateful for you.
Amen. It's good to have her today. Good to have her. Also, if you've got a bulletin, I remind you, this doesn't have to be your first time coming to Thomas Village to fill out that paperwork. If you want me to come and see you or one of our deacons, but if you are with us and you've not let us know a little bit about you, on the inside of that, your bulletin as you turn to Psalms chapter 11 is a little questionnaire. Fill out as much as you feel comfortable with, and then on your way out, just give it to me or to one of the deacons, and we'll follow up in any way you would ask us to. If that be prayer, we'll pray, or whatever needs be. Anyone else this morning? Go ahead. Amen. Sister?
I'm just thankful to be here in Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke about her before where she had that dream.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's back, and she's on life support right now.
What's her name?
Baldwin, Elizabeth.
Let's stop and pray for Elizabeth right now, okay? How many of you have other needs right now? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I'm thankful that you're on the throne. I'm thankful that you're in control right now. I'm thankful that what I see and what I feel is not the reality, but that you're in control. You're in charge, and nothing is taking you by off guard today, and nothing will take you off guard. And so, God, today we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, as our sister is lifted up and given praise, but also we do lift up Elizabeth right now, God, in this infection that's going on. We know you're the great physician and that you're able. But Lord, we pray right now for healing and that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And when Amy said that her verse of Scripture said everything, give praise, she didn't tell you the context of that situation. The context of that situation was at about 15 minutes before dark on Thursday, I called her saying, I'm on the side of the road about 60 miles from my mom and daddy's, and my truck is overheating. And then she tells me, well, my scripture says in everything give thanks. I said, you hush up, woman, don't preach to me. No, I didn't. And trucks running good. I think the Lord just wanted me to be able to be with mom and daddy a few more days. If not, you may not agree, but don't tell me otherwise, okay? Any other words of praise before we go on this morning? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. In honor of God's word, But before we go into it, turn around and go find somebody and tell them it's good to have them in here today, all right? I told Jeff I'm going with y'all. Did y'all? Did y'all? I told Jeff I'm going to Jacksonville with y'all. Well, good to see you. How you doing, man? Did you stay well? You didn't get sick or nothing? Good deal. Is it? Hello, brother. Good to see you. Hello, sister. How are y'all? Hello, brother Deacon. Good to see you. Hello. Hello, sister. I'm sorry, I'm reaching over your Bible. As long as it ain't your plate, okay? Yeah, all right. All right. If I had a title for this morning's message, this would be it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Verse 11, chapter 11 of Psalms, we'll read the whole chapter. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. What are we doing? And you may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, just want to slow down right now. Recognize that this is Your time on Your timetable and that we have gathered here in Your name to worship You, to seek Your face, to hear Your word, and to be touched by You. And as we've gathered together, I pray, Lord, You said that You want people to worship You. And You want people to worship You in spirit and in truth. Not sure how to do that, but God, today I come to You confessing that You know who I am. But Lord, I love You. And I praise You and I thank You for Your Son. And so, Holy Spirit, come and be with us, minister us here, as also those that are listening over the Facebook this morning. We give You all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to do? My plans was to begin a series of four sermons on discipleship. Matter of fact, if you were here Wednesday night, I said I've got the sermon for Sunday almost done. Well, it didn't do me no good. But you come back next Sunday and we'll start that series, all right? No, basically we're going to focus on the first four verses. Let me read those first three verses to you again. And the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. Now, you look at that picture there. That literally, he's saying that somebody is stringing up the bow. They're locking the arrow into the nock, and they're getting ready to just let go and to fire. And it says that they may privately or sneaky shoot at the upright in heart. And then the psalmist asks a question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? What are we going to do? The Lord is in His temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. Now, the idea and the topic of this message this morning is not a original one. There's nothing original when it comes to Scripture. Specifically, this message this morning comes from a wonderful preacher. And if you ever get the chance, I challenge you to go to Sermon Audio or go to Facebook and look him up. And his name is Pastor and Professor E.V. Hill.
What an awesome, awesome man of God. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, I found he's a pastor out in California. He preached at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. But during the 80s, he was very involved with the Southern Baptist Association. He helped, if not found, he participated in Promise Keepers ministries. And I found an old 80s video of him up at Thomas Road Baptist Church with Jerry Falwell, and both of them have passed on to the Lord. But God uses Scripture to really bless me and encourage me, but also to challenge me this week. And basically that verse 3 is the one that we kind of center the whole idea on this morning. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'll tell you what, it has been one of those weeks in the emotional and spiritual sense. I'll be honest with you, I don't watch much news because it really, and I'm talking about local news, national news. I'll listen to political stuff, but news and stuff, it just gets me down. It's a waste of my time. Most of the time it's a waste of time and doesn't benefit me in the spiritual. It leaves me depressed. But what we had, think about it, we had the impeachment, and in my book, the impeachment ain't nothing more than political drama where both sides are saying, I'm right, you're wrong, without much regard to the average everyday individual that's out there trying to make it by. And then we got the coronavirus, said that this week is the World Health Organization declared it to be a global emergency. That's spooky, ain't it? Sleep well tonight. We're done. And then, did y'all hear about the other church shooting yesterday? Down at Victoria City Church in Riviera Beach, Florida, after a funeral. Three were shot. 15-year-old boy was killed. Another one was killed. And I mean, and you know, like I said, man, that's just depressing. And that's... Then you got all the other stuff, all the normal stuff that's going on. But as you hear about all that stuff and you look at our country, and I can't imagine what it would be like. I think about those that have lived for 100 years, 90 years, 80 years, and how much change they've seen in America and the change that they've seen in the world. And even myself, we look at it and I think, how much lower can we sink? How much deeper in the mud and the muck can we go before the Lord comes back, before He returns? And then as I traveled this week, I was listening to Pastor Hill, and I listened to three or four of his sermons and passed them on to my wife. And she was amening when I walked in the house yesterday. She was vacuuming and amening, and I didn't even know I was there. But look at that passage of Scripture. It says, verse 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed. Now, what is a foundation? I looked up the term. The foundation means the base, support, and structure on which the whole institution is built. The base, support, and structure upon which the whole institution is built. Now, I'm not really did much carpentry or work up here, so I'm going to tell you how we did our foundations down where I'm from. We had real sandy dirt. Clay type dirt. And so what we'd do is we'd take and we'd dig about 16 inches wide and about 2 to 4 feet deep into the ground. And then we'd come along behind it and we'd put rebar or steel, riveted steel down in the bottom. Then what you'd do is you'd come along around it with concrete and you'd fill that whole thing up. And so what you had was on the ground, you had the outline. And then upon that, you'd have the block man come in. And then he would start building up. And ever how high you really wanted it to go, that was the way he would go. And then after that, they'd bring the sand truck in. And they'd put sand in there. And they'd fill it about halfway up with sand. And then on top of that, you'd pour all that concrete. And the concrete finisher, and he'd come in there. And he'd smooth that thing across. And he'd keep it wet because you didn't want to get no cracks in the foundation. You know, he might sit there all day long. But he'd do it. And that is what the rest of the house is built. The walls, the doors, the windows, the roof, all of that. So you got to be sure what you're doing there is right. Now I know we got basements and junk up here, so I don't even know how that would go. But when he's talking about the foundation here, we see that picture in our mind. Something sure, something solid to uphold everything else that's going to be on top of it. You see, when we talk about biblical foundations, when we discuss a biblical foundation, what we're talking about here are the principles and the role and the structure on which the rest of society is upheld. The whole world. He's talking about the precepts, the truths, the promises that all of life is built upon. Just like that house. The Bible teaches that all of creation is built upon a foundation. It has a structure underneath it that's holding it up. And every society has some type of structure. Something that's holding it up. Now he says right here, he says, if the foundations be destroyed, if that structure, if that support, if that base becomes weak, what are we going to do? Now, no matter how much certain people, certain groups would like to rewrite American history, our nation and our identity as a nation is built upon and established Judeo-Christian truth. Now, does that mean that everybody, all our founding fathers, were Christians? Nope, don't mean that. Does that mean that all their ideas were right? Nope, doesn't mean that. Does that mean that everything's done since we've been established as America has been right? Nope, don't mean that. Do our leaders sometimes do things for personal gain and pass it off for national benefit? Yep, they do that. So really, what do we mean when we say that America has been established on Judeo-Christian truths? That our fundamental, our foundation is built upon that. This is it. That America has been established on the principles and the undergirding structure of the truth that is found in this scripture. I believe that one of the problems we have today in our government, why we cannot come to an agreement on how the Constitution and how the Bill of Rights is to be interpreted, is because they're looking through Republican eyes. They're looking through Democratic eyes. They're looking through European Union eyes. When you've got to stare through the looking glass of God's truth, and only then will the Constitution and the Bill of Rights be able to be interpreted properly. Everything has to come through this. I mean, you think about it. Again, I don't agree with a lot of what's in the history of America. But it says that we as a nation believe that all men are created equal. Where does that come from? The book of Genesis, where it says that the first man and the first woman were created by our Creator, God Almighty, and that He breathed the breath of life, His very own breath, into them, and that each one of them were created in His image. That's where that comes from. That's where that idea comes from. We're thinking about the foundations. If the foundations be destroyed, I want you to think about some of the foundations that even as early as just 100 years ago that were the undergirding and the upholding of our nation. Sunday was the Lord's Day. Just look around you at all the churches between Lee County, Scott County, and Wise County. Ain't a holler you can't go in that there's a church. Does that mean they couldn't get along with each other? Maybe, but I think it means more that there was a time in this area and in this nation that Sunday was given to the Lord. And even most people around you probably got up and went to church, and even if they didn't, they recognized that it was the Lord's Day, if nothing else. The Creator and the Ten Commandments. That there is a higher power, and that He has given us instructions, and that there is right and there is wrong. Life was valuable from womb to grave. Matter of fact, the baby and the elders were more valued. The basic building block for our culture is a home in which a mother and a father is present. You say, Brian, why are you doing this? Because I want you to see what the foundations of this nation has been. What has undergirded us, what has held us up, what the walls and the windows and everything has been built upon. The individual was responsible for their actions. A bad childhood was not an excuse for civil disobedience, nor was it a reason for the government to take care of you. There was absolute truth. That there were certain things that you could hold on to, certain things that you know, the sky is blue, the grass is green. God is love. We live in a world today where all that's been clipped. I want you to think about the condition now, which we've talked about the foundation of our country, really the foundation of all creation. If this basic structure, this basic support begin to break down, or if it begins to tear down, what are we going to do? In America today, and I think you've got to agree that if we were going to read this scripture properly at where we're standing at right now, instead of chapter 3 beginning with a if, we would have to start it with since. Since the foundation is being destroyed. Since it's being beat up. And I want you to think about this. It ain't somebody sneaking around the corner going tap, 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 and then running around to the other side and beating on in a little bit. No, we've got well past that part. There's an open, like that in verse 2, where it says they're stringing up their bow. They're putting the arrow in it and they're letting it fly. Hey, they ain't even doing it privately now. It's wide open. It's public. Literally, as we speak, and you know this, They are groups, organizations, associations that are out there for the sole purpose of knocking down biblical, fundamental truths in America. That's what they're for. That's what they do. Some of them are tax-free. You say, Brian, what are you talking about? Listen. Since the foundations are being destroyed, unashamedly, people reject the Bible. Unashamedly, they treat it as fairy tales. Unashamedly, they treat those who believe in it as ignorant people. Doesn't matter how many degrees you'd have after your name. If you believe in that Bible, you're still a dunce. I want to name you some of these groups. And I want to let you know, I want Thomas Village to be known as a positive church. We stand for Christ. We love the lost. We'll lift up the fallen. We're not against, but we're for in Jesus' name. But you know what? If you're for something, sometimes you got to be against something. You can't stand on one thing and stand truly on it without being the opposite of the other. The Freedom From Religion Foundation. Y'all know who they are? They're the ones that brought the lawsuit that stopped the Gideons from going into school system. A group established to knock down the foundation. Planned Parenthood. I don't know why it was established, but I'll tell you this. There's proven things today that show that they'll push abortion more than they'll push adoption. CHOP. The National Center for Lesbian Rights. No need to say anything else there. Foundation for Reason and Science, which pushes the no creator science. Their founder, Richard Dawkins, likened Christian homeschooling to child abuse. CHOP. North American Man-Boy Love Association. The Council for Secular Humanism. Man is God.
And anybody who seeks to reelect Virginia's governor. So as a Christian, the eyes of our inner man, of our heart, must be opened and recognize that our country is being openly beaten down and waged war against to knock the foundation out from under it. And I don't think what I'm telling you this morning is any surprise to you. You see it, you know it. But see, what we do is we grow callous to it. What are we going to do? It's what the psalmist wrote. If the undergirding begins to be torn away, what are we going to do? Well, look there in verse 1. There's an option. Right there at the end. It says, flee as a bird to your mountains. I tried that. I used to live in Georgia. I ran to the mountains. It don't work, okay? No, I think this is probably most of our options. You know, we kind of like this. We see that the undergirding is being torn away at. We see that there's open attacks on truth, on the Bible. Doesn't matter, Baptist, Methodist, whatever. If you stand on the gospel, if you stand on the truth, they're out to knock it under against you. And most of us, this is the way we would get. I won't mess with you. You don't mess with me. And I'll stay where I belong. You stay where you belong. In the words of our politicians, a little quid pro quo. I'll do this if you'll do that. But you know the thing about that is, the old saying, sin goes further than you want to go and takes more than you want to give. You see, we see as a generation where I'm standing that most of my group has kindly just said, we won't bother you, you don't bother us. And now we see families battling within themselves over situations that they never would have thought they'd have had to have battled. We see solid men and women that we saw as good moral people beginning to condone, accept sin in the name of acceptance and tolerance. And we see so-called houses of God begin to move away from this and to be entertainment so that they can keep the money coming in and they can be the biggest church in the community. And the whole time, the foundations are being torn, being ripped out. So, you see, the ostrich approach don't work. The running to the head and or running to the mountains and sticking your head in some rocks, it don't cut it, because we can look. I'm my generation. We can look and we can see that it didn't work. So then what are we going to do? That's the whole question here, isn't it? Since the foundations are being knocked out from under us, since running to the mountains ain't going to do it, then what are we going to do? Well, number one, I believe we've got to have a plan of action. Look there in verse 1. Look what he says. He says, in the Lord I put my trust. The Christian Standard puts it like this: I have taken refuge in the Lord. The idea of trust or the idea of refuge means a place of trust and comfort, of shelter and of safety in these dangerous times that a battle for the soul of America is going on, a battle for the soul of our youth, a battle for the souls of our young men and women. When all that's going on, the psalmist is able to say, I have found a place of safety and trust in the Creator of all things. You see, it is a fight. But not just for America. America's going to end one day. You know that? But I've got youngins. I've got friends. I've got family that their soul's going to live on somewhere. And it's for the fight of their souls. That's what we're fighting for. That's what it's about.
And I'll tell you this, I'll bet you even money that whatever you hold as convictions, your children don't hold it quite as tight as you do. I'm not saying in everything, but I'm saying in a lot of it. So we've got to have a plan of action. And look, he says that the first plan of action that he has is to trust in the Lord. And because he trusts in the Lord, he can't just run to the mountains. That's not an option for him. So I've got some things today. I want us to, if we'll put these in our life, then praise God, we'll be doing our part to uphold the foundation. We'll be doing our part to see that the truth of God stands firm. Does that mean we're going to be popular? Nope. Does that mean people are going to think we're nice people? Nope. Because when you speak the truth, you ain't nice lots of times. But what will we be doing? We'll be honoring who we are in Christ. We'll be recognizing that He is the authority and nothing else is the authority. Number one, what are we going to do? We're going to be settled and we're going to be assured. Number one, we're going to be settled and we're going to be assured. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says this, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fear." I've already quoted and tell you that the Bible teaches us this, that when the last days come, that if it were possible, even the very elect, even those that are saved and secure in the name of Christ Jesus, if it was not for the guardianship of the Holy Ghost, that even we could be deceived, even we could be led astray. And we might not want to admit it, and we might not want to say anything about it, but we're living in a world where the world is pushing on us, the spirit of the enemy is pushing on us, and we have this old flesh, and in the midnight hours, some of us at times we think, am I too hard? Am I too mean? Maybe they are right. Because it's coming from everywhere. It's pushing on us from all angles. But listen to what it says. We've got to be settled and secured in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to these verses. Listen to these verses. Luke chapter 8 verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of fasting or testing, they fall away. What's he saying there? That there's going to be a group of people who have some emotional move. And they're going to be looking for something in their life. And maybe Jesus will sound good for a little while. But when things begin to get tough, when a little bit of accountability, when a little bit of testing comes in there, they're going to walk away from it. But many of them, you'll ask them today, you say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? They said, yeah, I prayed the prayer. I walked the aisle. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. As ye have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. And they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they belonged with us, they would have stayed with us. What's he saying? He's saying in the last days there's going to be those that hang around the Christian people. Hang around the Christian places. But times are going to come when it gets a little tough. Times are going to come when it gets a little hard. Times are going to come where you're going to have to choose one side or the other. And what does he say? He said they're going to go out from us. They're not going to stand with us. When the time comes to uphold the foundation, they're not going to be beside us. And the reasons they're not beside us is because they're not one of us. But you know what? You're going to be able to ask some of them, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? They're going to say, yeah, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I just don't get caught up in all that religion stuff. I walked the aisle. I was baptized. Ask my mama. My mama told me about it when I was 12 years old. Went off to some camp, come back, got baptized. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. I'm not going to quote it because many of you know it. But it says that on judgment day, many will stand before Christ Jesus. And they're going to say, Lord, we taught people about you. We fought against the devil for you. We saw mighty works done in your name. And Jesus is going to look at them and he's going to say, leave. Get out of my presence. Because I don't have a relationship with you. But you know what? Most of them today, especially of them that's been brought up in some of our Baptist churches,
Once saved, always saved, easy believism. And I believe when you're saved, you're saved. Don't get me wrong. But let me mark you that an emotional flutter in your heart at 14 ain't salvation. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, they're made new. There's a new life. What's that new life? How's it going to look? I don't know, but I can tell you what it'll be built around and built on. It'll be built on the name of Jesus. And it'll be built around His truth. I want to just be honest with you today. One of my biggest concerns as pastor is that I'm fearful. Not just in the pews of America, but I mean right now in this church, in Thomas Village Baptist Church. That there's some of you sitting in the pew right now, and you've had an emotional move. You've went through the motions. You've said this, you've said that. But when you die, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. You say, Brian, why would you say that? Because there's no passion for Christ in your life. You don't really love His Word. You don't love His people. You treat the church as a duty. Quick as you can get out of here, you go. You don't love His ways. There's no commitment to His service or to His church. When He says, I'm coming to get my church. That's who He died for, is His church. You have no desire to really do anything for Him. All you really want is not to die and go to hell. You don't want Him to be your Lord. You don't want to know Him better. You just want an insurance policy. Well, preacher, if it was up to you, I'd be here every minute of every second of every day. If you're saying that you think I have a lot of expectation and anticipation for what I believe God is going to do through you in this church, then you're right. I do. I believe God's going to do great things at this church. Hey, praise God, I got a 5-year plan. Y'all may not think I look that far ahead, but I got a 5-year plan. I do, and you're in it. Now go sleep on that. But what I want you to know is I want you to know His forgiveness. That's why I'm concerned about your soul. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you to know His joy. I want you to know what it's like to hear Him, to have a passion for His Word on inside of you, to see how He views you, to feel how much He loves you. I don't want you to go to hell, and I don't want you to think you have to go to hell or are going to hell. I want you to start living and start living now for the glory of the Lord and in the joy of the Lord. You see, what are we going to do when the foundations begin to get destroyed? We better settle up and be assured about who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this right now before I go to the next point. Right now, from last Monday to today, look at your life and what you see. Does it say you're a Christian? Does it say that Jesus is important in your life? Does it say that His foundation is your foundation? Number two, what we're going to do? We're going to be assured, we're going to be settled. But praise God, next thing we're going to do, we better get suited. We better get suited up. Ephesians chapter 6, y'all better listen fast. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's telling us, hey buddy, you got a bad enemy. He's powerful, He's strong. You don't just walk out there in your flip-flops and your Bermuda shorts. With me, it's cut-off jean shorts and a wife beater. But whatever. You don't walk out in that. The enemy is real. Listen. Over in Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy and he's saying, I want you to know something, son. He said, know this, that hard times are coming in the last days. The King James says, know this, perilous times are coming. You know what that means? Fierce times, dangerous times, violent times are coming.
Difficult times are coming. Why? Because the Antichrist is coming. Because His Spirit is now roaming over America and all over this globe. He goes on in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. It's talking about that enemy that's trying to whack out the foundations that we stand upon today. It says that as the enemy, he is described as a roaring lion that paces around in anticipation for just the right moment. And at that right moment, he pounces in with his strong jaws and his sharp teeth, he clenches down and begins to grind until he consumes us in one swallow. I want you to think about something today. You think about the great men of God. You think about Abraham. You think about Peter. You think about David. You think about all those men. I ain't even in their shadow. Much less their league, Sister Pam. I better make sure I've got on the armor. You better make sure. Hey, praise God. Praise God. He's called us to hold up the foundation. But if we're going to, what are we going to do when it begins to be torn away? We're going to stand with it. We're going to uphold it in the name of Jesus. But we've got to know that we are saved by that name. We've got to make sure that we are suited up in the armor of God. And number three, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, therefore, take up the armor, whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, stand. Amen. We're going to get settled up and assured. We're going to get suited up and ready for battle. But you know what we got to do then? We got to show up. We got to show up. Listen to this, May 21st, 2019. In more than 500 cities in America, men and women gathered to stand up for pro-choice, pro-abortion, favorably killing children. September 7th, 2019. An estimated 10,000 attended, while there were at least 1,100 that marched in the tri-parade in Johnson City, Tennessee. Not even an hour down the road. 10,000 showed up. What were they doing? Holding up the foundations of what they believe. Standing up for what they thought was right. January 20th, 2020. Over 22,000 showed up in Richmond, Virginia for Lobby Day and to show support for individual gun rights. You got a problem with guns? No, I tote one. But what I'm saying is this, is when you have a passion for something, when you believe in something, you'll show up. You'll show up. February the 2nd, 2020. While only 65,000 will attend the game, around 150,000 will show up in Miami, Florida to support either a 49er or a chief. You see, we can believe it. We can even be saved. But remember, running to the mountains don't work. Locking ourselves behind the door and pulling the shades down don't keep the enemy out. We got to show up. We got to do something. Well, I'm not a teacher. I don't feel like visitation is my gift. In my situation in life, I really can't do much. I didn't ask you to do nothing. I'm literally, right now, I'm asking you just to show up. Just show up. Just be here. You say, Brian, I am here. Yeah, but we meet on Sunday nights too. We meet on Wednesday nights too. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, don't neglect coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, I want to tell you just by just making sure that your car is in this parking lot and your body is in this facility, I want to tell you what God can do with that, okay? Your car being in the parking lot is a testimony that Christ Jesus, and it tells the value to those riding by, the value you have for Him and the value you have for His church. Your car being out there, it's an encouragement to me, your pastor. It's an encouragement to your deacons. It's an encouragement to other members in this church, because they look around and they say, I ain't in this fight alone. There's somebody else, not only just one, two somebody else, but there's a committed group that's here with me, and they believe in this foundation. They're willing to stand with me on that foundation. And you know what else? The next time they feel like not coming to church, they might remember, hey, they were there. I better get on up and help them do the heavy lifting today. You know what else? It declares to those that's driving by that while they may never see your face or know your name, that something in this place, something you found tied to this place, motivates you to get you up and get you going. The Bible tells us that we are Christ's people when we're gathered together. And here's a benefit on top of all that being a testimony. But it says that when we gather together, His Spirit's there. You know what? There's never a better place to be than in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, He lives within me. I know it, but praise God, He lives within them too. If we come together, that kind of just, to me, in my mind, makes Him bigger. I know that ain't good thinking. You know, I know He's infinite. I know He's bigger than the sky and all that. But you know, we get together and it's just like, there's more. You know what I mean? There's just more. And I promise you, can I tell you something this morning? I know that you're not going to believe this, but there's some days that I really don't look forward to walking in here. There's some days I really don't look forward to shaking hands. Miss Yvonne really don't look forward to shaking my hand, especially this time of year. But you know what? Most of the time, once I do come in here, I'm encouraged. I'm uplifted. I feel better when I leave than I did when I come here. You see, ain't nobody asking you to go save the world. We're just saying that together we've been called to uphold the foundations of the gospel. If we're going to do that, we've got to be settled and assured in Christ. We've got to be suited up in His armor. We've got to show up for the fight. We've got to show up for the battle. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and elsewhere in the Scriptures, it says, we as believers, we are described as soldiers. We're described as conquerors. We're described as warriors in the army of Christ Jesus. Brother Hill puts it this way. He says, there is no retiring from the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. All shore leave has been denied and all furloughs have been canceled. Due to the seriousness of the situation and the shortness of time, all soldiers must report for duty. All the used-to-be Sunday school teachers, every once-were choir members, and all the should-have-been prayer warriors, and each of those I wish I would have church members. It's time to report for duty for the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can win in His name, because He's already won the victory. He's just calling us to carry it out for Him. Stand up, show up, and serve our soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, that's good. Now, you sleep better on that one than anything else, can't we? Amen. And then lastly, it's this. We got to be settled in this. What we going to do? What we're going to do when the foundations begin to be destroyed? We're going to make sure we're settled and assured. We're going to suit up. We're going to stand up. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to keep the faith. We're going to keep the faith. Notice it says there in verse 4, it says that the Lord's throne is in heaven. I don't know where heaven is, but we ain't found it yet. So it must be above everything else, right? His throne is above it. We live in a world of instability. Sometimes something's one thing today and then tomorrow it's something else. We got flip-flop politicians. Trends and popularity are based on the way we define things and how we see things. There are no absolute truths. And you know, it's almost like some days you can even feel the foundations moving under your feet. Wondering if it's going to stay. Let me read you a verse of Scripture, okay? The foundation may fall. Foundation may fall. But listen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. For it says in Scriptures, behold, I am laying in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected have become the chief cornerstone. Even if the foundation falls away, and all society and every country falls away, I'm not standing only on that, but I'm standing on the cornerstone. I'm standing on the rock that cannot be moved. I'm standing on the very thing that everything else hangs upon today. I'm standing on the blood and the name and the person of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hebrews says, He is an anchor for my soul, that when the waves are rolling and crashing around me, I might look like I'm being tossed around, but from underneath I'm being held on. Why? Because I'm on the cornerstone. And He's holding on to me. Now, you may not have got up and run, but if you've got any Christian in you, there was a little bit inside of you there that just wanted to get up and run a little bit. As we get a song ready for closing, what are we going to do? Brother Rick, if you get us one ready. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when the world's crumbling in around us? What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to settle up. We're going to make sure that you're saved. Now remember, I know, hearing what I said, that I'm concerned about some of your souls in here. It wasn't easy to hear. Well, as your pastor, it wasn't easy to say either. But I asked you a question there. I asked you to look back on your last week. From last Monday to today, is there enough in your life to say that I know, that I know, that I know, if I died today, I'd go to heaven? If you don't, you can. You can right now. And if you'll come, me or one of the deacons or my wife, anybody, will sit down with you and show you what the Scripture means. And I don't mean you got to wait till the music starts playing. I'm saying come on right now, because I believe the Spirit's drawing right now. Maybe you're just thinking, I think I am. Well, you know what it says in 1 John? I have written these things so that you may know. You don't have to wonder. You want to come nail it down? You come nail it down right now. Number two, as we see the erosion around all of us, the question is not do we see it. Does it bother you? I'll be honest with you, it don't bother me like it should. What did he say in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, which are called by my name, then will humble themselves, then I'll hear you, nations. You know who he's talking about, people? Those of us who say we love Jesus Christ. Those of us that have been saved. And what we've done is we've said, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. But see, now it's coming in. It's invading everywhere. We can no longer say, as a country, there is no more land to move into. And as a people, they're so close to being in every church that we better take a stand. Number three, are you suited up? Do you put on your armor? You say, Brian, I try to. And I make it about 30 minutes, and then I kick the dog, and a cuss word comes through my mind, and then I just throw my hands up in the air, and I'm done. But you know what you get to do then? You get to say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I need to put it back on again. You see, that's sin's job. Sin's job is to keep you away from Jesus. That guilt you feel when you sin and says, oh, he's done with you, all that. That's what sin's supposed to do. That's why Jesus came to this earth and said, listen, I'm coming to get the sin out of the way because I love you that much. So when you sin, just confess it. I'll forgive it and we can move on. Now, maybe that's where you're at today. But then lastly, how about showing up? Maybe you took a time out and said, I need me time. And you know what happens with me time? Me time always lasts a lot longer than you intended for it to. It does. But you know what? He's the same place he was. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, he'll just... You know what? His forgiveness is already there. He's holding it out. All you got to do is be willing to claim it. Maybe you need to become a member of Thomas Village. Maybe you need to come and say, I want to commit my life to serving Him. Yeah, He's my Lord. He is my Lord. I know He saved me, but I just ain't been serving. It's time to serve Him. And lastly, maybe you've been
losing hope. You see it, you feel it all. You know, you live in America. You feel it. Maybe you just need that. I need you to pick me up. And you know what? I believe in the Spirit if we need it. Just like I used to reach down and grab Maddie and Talmadge and pick them up in my arms. I believe today if you'll come with your heart open, say, Lord, I just need some faith. I believe if you come, you know what He'll do in the person of the Holy Spirit. He'll grab hold of you and He'll hold fast to you. And you know what? When you get off the altar, He ain't going to let go. He's going to keep holding on as you go. And then when you walk out the door, you're going to say, and then if you feel it loosening up, just fall down again. Just fall down again. But whatever you need might be, here's the question. What are you going to do right now? Won't you come? The altar's open. Let's stand. Whatever your need might be, salvation, recommitment, joining the church. Need a little fresh hope? Won't you come today and do business with the Lord today? It's all up to you. He's ready. Anyone? People's coming. What's keeping you from coming? Time? What other people think about you? He just ain't dealing with you? Won't you come? So thankful that you came today. So thankful that you made the time to come out. If you need to be seated, the Lord understands, and so do we. But I pray today that you'll just take a little bit of look around you through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Think about where you stand with the Lord and what His call is on your life. And the Lord's dealing with somebody. And I feel it. And I don't want you to go to hell.